Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Jody Peterson. On this edition, we'll discuss two Delta County ballot measures. County residents are being asked to vote on a back the badge measure that would institute a special public safety tax to help fund law enforcement. And the towns of Paonia and Cedar Edge are each considering allowing sales of medical and recreational marijuana and taxing those sales to create additional revenue. To learn more about the pros and cons of the Back the Badge proposal, KVNF spoke with the Delta County Sheriff, a journalist who's covered the issue, and a citizen who opposes the tax increase. First, here's Delta County Sheriff Mark Taylor explaining why law enforcement needs additional money.
So Back the Badge, it's truly, and probably especially this year, it's a citizen-driven collaborative effort between the citizens of Delta County and all five law enforcement agencies in Delta County. That's the Sheriff's Office, Cedar Ridge Police Department, Hotchkiss Marshal's Office, and the Paonia Police Department and Delta Police Department. Last year's Back the Badge failed by a little over 200 votes, and within a few weeks of the election of last year, that got an outpouring of citizens calling me saying we need to get it back on the ballot, and they couldn't believe it didn't pass, and they understood that it's definitely needed in Delta County, and so that's what I mean by citizen driven, and it's truly a collaborative effort between all five law enforcement agencies. We're all working together for the same common goal, and so we're trying to tackle this thing together rather than individually.
Let's talk about how much money would be raised by this if it passed, and then how it would be divided between the different entities.
Estimated figures are $2.7 million for 2020, and that's based off of 0.8 cents for every dollar spent. So if you go to the grocery store and you spend $100, at Walmart or something, that equates to 80 cents going towards this tax. And then also what we did for this year is we put a 10-year sunset on it. So in 10 years, if the citizens feel that we're not managing those funds correctly, or they're not being used for what we said that they were going to be used for, then the citizens can vote this initiative down in 10 years. In 10 years, we'll have to renew it. So.
And then it would be divided up between the different municipalities?
Right. So the sheriff's office would receive 52%, and that equates to approximately $1.4 million. Paonia Police Department would receive 6%, and that equates to about $165,000. Hotchkiss Marshal's office, 4%. That comes out to about $109,000. Cedar Ridge Police Department, 7%, at $192,000. And Delta Police Department would receive 31%, and that equates to about $851,000.
What would the funding be used for?
Mainly across the board, it's going to be for additional patrol deputies and officers on the street. I think that's the biggest thing for all five agencies is to get more cops on the street. That's what we're trying to accomplish here with this tax. We've been seeing a rise in crime, for several years now, and the number of crimes and calls for services that we're going to is just astronomical compared to what they were 5, 6, 7 years ago. And we're just not keeping up with the crime. And it's one thing I've heard over and over again is, how come I never see anybody on Cedar Mesa? How come I never see a deputy on Fruitland Mesa or Powell Mesa? And it's because our deputies are running from call to call, literally. My opinion, after 32 years of doing this in Delta County, my opinion is there's no better deterrent to criminal behavior than seeing a marked patrol car, in those neighborhoods and those communities and in front of businesses and in front of those schools.
So Delta County currently has how many deputies?
Currently we have 14 deputies, And so those deputies are covering 1,140 square miles of Delta County. And so you can imagine if somebody's on vacation or if somebody calls in sick, you know, there's days and evenings when we have, you know, as little as two deputies work in Delta County. And in my opinion, that's just unacceptable. And that's the main reason why we can't keep up with the crime that's occurring in Delta.
If Back the Badge passes, how many more deputies would you be able to hire?
You have to remember that this isn't just an immediate fix, but it's a fix for well into the future as well. Now, this tax would help. But in the first year, my plan is to hire four additional patrol deputies and then four additional deputies in detentions. We need to get them some help in dispatch as well, so they can get that information out to a first respond, whether it's law enforcement or EMS or fire.
When we're talking about sales tax increase of 0.8%, that's actually like a 40% increase in the amount of tax that's being collected in the county, from 2% to 2.8%. That level of tax increase could potentially put a burden on people who are already struggling financially. So is that something that you are concerned about?
You know, I am concerned. I'm a taxpayer as well as everybody else, and I hate to see any kind of new taxes, you know, but I know what the alternative is, and I hope people listen and they truly understand that Delta County is basically coming to a crossroads. I think everybody's starting to see, you know, if they haven't been a victim of crime themselves, I can tell you just about everybody in Delta County either has friends or family that has, and the drug activity is going crazy. The methamphetamines and the heroin cases, you know, it's almost a daily basis that our guys are picking up heroin cases, and these people that are addicted to these seriously dangerous drugs, you know, they have to supply their habits somehow, and how they're doing that is they're breaking into your home, my home, breaking into cars, you know, they're stealing anything they can get their hands on to supply their drug habit. So, you know, in my opinion, this is basically an insurance policy, you know, that for 80 cents on $100 that you spend at the store, I think it's well worth it. I would not be asking for this if I didn't find it critical. This is the time. I mean, we need to get ahead of the crime that's happening in Delta County right now. It's not just a law enforcement issue, and it's not a political issue. It's a crime issue, and the only way to solve that is the citizens and law enforcement working together. And unfortunately, it takes money to do that. Basically, it says that after ballot language has been set, government entities can't provide any more assistance, you know, in moving initiative along or a campaign along. That it has to go to a citizens group to move it forward. And so as soon as the ballot language was set, then we were going to hand everything off to the Back the Badge citizens group. And so in between that time, we ran out of yard signs, and we ordered some more. And so once the second order came in, we put that post out saying that you can come by and pick them up. As soon as I found out that it was potentially an issue, I took the appropriate steps to correct it immediately. You know, I would ask the Delta County citizens not to hold this mistake against the sheriff's office or any other law enforcement agency in the county.
The Delta County Sheriff's Office is cooperating with the investigation and could face penalties and fees if found in violation. And let's just talk a little bit more about funding for law enforcement.
Okay.
So was there a possibility of the county funding some or all of the money that is being sought to increase law enforcement?
I think it's extremely healthy of Delta County to have a good reserve to be able to fund, whether it's law enforcement or other services in Delta County, when things like COVID comes, you know, you have a mass pandemic scare, you know, throughout the state, the county, the country, the world. Delta County was able to dip into those reserves and pay for whatever they needed to pay for. So, and I can also tell you that the commissioners and the county administrator has been more than supportive in our need for additional deputies and what we're trying to accomplish here at the sheriff's office. Montrose County, years and years ago, I think we're talking clear back to 2007, passed a sales tax initiative to fund the sheriff's office. And then Montrose Police Department, they also saw the need, and so they passed a sales tax in the city of Montrose just for the police department, a public safety sales tax for the police department. And then Mesa County passed a public safety sales tax in 2017, I believe, and then 2017 or 18, and then Grand Junction Police Department also passed a public safety sales tax last year. You know, I think it's time that we support the men and women that put uniforms on and are willing to risk their lives for all the communities in Delta County.
On October 15th, the Secretary of State's office filed a complaint against your office for a potential violation of campaign finance law. During summer and early fall, your office used staff time and resources to promote Back the Badge, which is not legal. Can you describe why you thought your department's actions did comply with campaign finance law?
Basically, it says that after ballot language has been set, government entities can't provide any more assistance, you know, in moving an initiative along or a campaign along, that it has to go to a citizens group to move it forward. And so as soon as the ballot language was set, then we were going to hand everything off to the Back the Badge citizens group. And so in between that time, we ran out of yard signs, and we ordered some more. And so once the second order came in, we put that post out saying that you can come by and pick them up. As soon as I found out that it was potentially an issue, I took the appropriate steps to correct it immediately.
That was Delta County Sheriff Mark Taylor. Next, I talked to Charles Ashby, a veteran reporter with the Grand Junction Sentinel, about his reporting on the campaign finance issue and about how a similar Back the Badge measure has worked for Grand Junction.
Well, let's see. It was back in August, I think, when I got a tip that the law enforcement, not just the sheriff's office in Delta County, but a few other the city and town law enforcement agencies were using their government offices as part of the campaign, which is a big no-no in campaign finance laws. Primarily, they were basically using their Facebook pages to, you know, tell people, hey, you can come get a sign in support of the Back the Badge measure at, you know, this police station or the sheriff's office, and that's using government money in a way, or government facilities to support a campaign. You can't do that. When I told the sheriff about that, he was like, well, I wasn't aware of that, and we'll fix it. And so for all I can tell, I think they have fixed that, which is good. And I thought Mark was he was straightforward, you know, he answered all my questions. He was a pretty nice guy, I thought. You know, he's honestly trying to do something he thinks is good for the county and for the law enforcement down there. I'm not taking sides on it one way or the other, but you know, he said, well, we'll take care of that. We'll fix that. We won't do that anymore. And near as I know, they've done that.
So in 2017, Mesa County passed a Back the Badge measure. So has it turned out to be positive for Mesa County?
Well, it definitely has, especially since sales taxes have been kind of problematic because of the COVID economy. They only asked for a 0.37% increase in the sales taxes to go to public safety. Yours is 0.08, so it's quite big. In fact, if I understand it correctly, it's almost one-third of the full, if it gets passed, it'll be almost one-third of all sales taxes that the county assesses. I think the county assesses a 2% tax, so it's quite high. So up here, passed pretty well. In fact, we were shocked because people don't, you know, normally support a tax increase in Mesa County. I'm sure Delta County is the same way. But given what's going on, and Ashley asked Mark Taylor about this, because what's going on with the Black Lives Matter stuff and the defund the police effort and all that other stuff, that actually is helping. Because of that, it has a much better chance of passing because people are down there are generally supportive of the of law enforcement. So it's gone over fairly well here. People are okay with it. You know, we back the blue up here, as they do down there, too, as far as the voters go. It's always hard in small communities, even here in Mesa County, to retain talented people because they can make more money elsewhere, and a lot of times they end up moving on. And so that he's hoping to be able to retain some good people, which is, fits in even with the Black Lives Matter movement. I've talked to a lot of people about that. They don't really want to defund the police. They're just to say get rid of them. They just want them to be, you know, operated more smoothly and more, you know, more fairly and have well-trained people. And that's kind of what Mark Taylor wants to do. He wants to have good people that he can retain. You get new people, you have to train them. That costs money. And so that's kind of the, I think they both have the same goal. Again, I'm not speaking for it or against it, but I'm just saying that, you know, that is his goal, is to have a pretty professionally trained and fairly compensated staff.
If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion on KVNF, and we're discussing Delta County ballot issues. We just heard from Charles Ashby of a Grand Junction Sentinel, and next is Dan Stucker, a Paoni businessman and resident, explaining his opposition to increasing sales tax for law enforcement.
The county's basically swimming in money right now with an increase of almost $800,000 in sales tax from the changes in the tax, the way that they're collecting taxes from the online sales and so forth. It was only a year ago when the county and the sheriff came to us and asked for a raise, and it wasn't very popular, and it didn't have a sunset clause. It's a forever thing, and it's a really substantial tax increase. And the new proposal, I understand, they put a sunset clause in, and I find that rather humorous because I have yet to see a sunset clause that concerned taxes that was ever actually sunsetted. They always needed it, and it always continued on.
So do you feel that the county and the small municipalities within it have adequate law enforcement right
yes,
now?
Yes, absolutely. You know, they have a lot of ground to cover, and you could double the amount of sheriffs and officers, and the response time would not change by less than somewhere between 5 and 10% would be the improvement. Not enough of improvement to notice. It's just how long it takes to get someplace and how much land there is. If you're looking at this as we're going to bring the crime rate down, well, that's not going to happen.
And why do you say that?
Because the crime rate isn't coming down.
Okay, but why?
I'm going to say it's probably because we have too many people that are struggling to make ends meet. We have too much of a drug problem. Adding sheriffs and increasing the tax base isn't going to help either one of those things. But the other thing is, right now, our reserves are 53% of our budget, our cash reserves for the county. And that's a really, really good thing for when times are bad. And it did get us through this last bad period pretty nicely. So I think the county can do more without increasing our taxes. And this is a sales tax. This hurts everybody. This costs the people who live on the edge.
So do you feel like some proportion of the county reserves should be spent on additional law enforcement?
The county could step up and help with that. That's part of their job, and we pay a lot of money to the county, both in sales tax and in property tax. In 2019, the county revenues increased by about $800,000. I understand the projection for this year because of this virus, and a lot of people more doing things more online. And now that the county collects online taxes, which it didn't in the past, that number will probably be that large or maybe larger for 2020. Of course, we don't know yet, but they're way above what they were last year. We do know that. So, yeah, I think there's plenty of money. I just think this is detrimental to the citizens and the folks in the county. We already pay a huge percentage of our income in taxes and hidden taxes. I think it's time to quit paying more.
That was Dan Stucker of Paonia. Next, for perspective on the marijuana sales ballot issues, KVNF spoke with the mayor of Ridgeway, which has had both medicinal and recreational marijuana sales for several years, and the mayor of Paonia. John Clark, Ridgeway's mayor, explains the impact of marijuana sales on the town.
Our philosophy was to limit the number of licenses as a way to control it. We allow a total of 4 licenses. There's 3 recreational and 1 medicinal. Overall, it's been very successful.
Did the town council just make that decision? Was there a ballot initiative associated with it?
Nope. Once the state ballot initiative passed, making it legal, it was up to each municipality or county to decide whether or not they were going to allow it. And it didn't require a vote of the people locally because it had already been passed at the state level.
Have residents expressed any concerns with the dispensaries?
It's kind of interesting. The biggest issue people seem to have is that one of our dispensaries is the first thing you see when you drive into town from the north, from Montrose. And it's not probably what a lot of us might want as the first thing that a visitor to Ridgeway sees. But there was a lot of concern when the ballot initiative first passed allowing recreational marijuana that there would be any place that dispensaries, recreational marijuana was allowed, would all of a sudden have an influx of you know, illegal activity and kind of what some people might call the wrong kind of people coming in. We have not seen anything of that sort whatsoever. We've had virtually no uptick in crime or anything like that. So I would say the feared impacts in some circles were totally unfounded. And okay. The upside is the tax revenue, of course.
Does the town collect like a flat amount of each sale, or is it a percentage?
We don't have a separate marijuana tax like some municipalities and counties do. We just collect our regular sales tax on those sales. We do also, as the state imposes a 10% sales tax on all marijuana sales, and they remit 15% of that back to the town of Ridgeway. So our slice of the sales tax pie is something like 3% or 3.5%, something like that. The sales tax revenue that we get from recreational marijuana and, of course, medicinal marijuana as well is significant. I can't give you actual numbers. Bottom line is it's been a significant boon to our revenues.
If you didn't have the marijuana revenues, what impact would that have on the town budget?
My guess is it would be a very significant impact, especially in these crazy COVID times. I mean, our sales tax revenue is up over last year in 2020, and I would be willing to bet that a significant reason for that is retail marijuana sales. So whether I can't tell you whether or not if we subtracted the marijuana sales tax revenues from all other sales tax revenues, whether that would result in a net loss in sales tax, but my guess is that it would.
Do you think it actually has wound up drawing some tourism or some visitation to Ridgeway?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at the fact that Ridgeway is the only non-ski resort type town that's allowed recreational marijuana dispensaries, and the fact that nowhere else north of us on the Western Slope allows it that I know of, Montrose, Delta, I have no doubt that we draw quite a bit from our immediate northern neighbors, Montrose and Delta County, and to not have to drive all the way to Telluride. I'm sure there are a lot of people that come to Ridgeway.
And then once they come to town for that purchase, they may make other purchases or buy some food or who knows.
Absolutely. I continue to be amazed at the, even now, well past Labor Day, the number of people in town, the restaurants are always packed, lines out the door. Apparent to me that the impacts of COVID on travel has made a lot of people flock to these off-beaten path places and stick around. The revenue is obviously a huge bonus, especially in these times when revenue is tight.
And that was John Clark, the mayor of Ridgeway. This is Local Motion on KVNF, and next we'll hear from Mary Bochran, the mayor of Paonia, which is considering marijuana sales and tax measures, as is Cedar Edge.
We could take this, the revenues that we get off of this on the sales of marijuana, and then we could use that money dedicated for 5 years strictly to streets and infrastructure. And
yeah,
that would be a way to fill a funding gap that we don't have any other way to do. And in the process of doing this, we went out and surveyed 12 other communities that are about the same size as Paonia in the state that have marijuana shops. So we were looking at what kind of revenues do you get? Are there any upticks in crime or other things that we need to worry about? Any other adverse effects? And what we found out is Mancus ended up with like $500,000 in tax revenues from their two little shops. And then all the community said, no, we really haven't had any legal problems. After we opened the shops, there were a couple attempted burglaries with people trying to break into the shops. And once they were thwarted, that was the end of that. And DUIs are the other things that came up. A little bit of increase in DUIs, but that's it. No other associated crime with opening these pot shops. So it really seemed like a win-win situation.
So what specifically would these two ballot measures do? One would allow marijuana sales and the other would tax them, right?
The first measure is just to allow retail sales of medical and recreational marijuana within the town limits. The second measure is about the revenues. So we would collect sales tax on every sale, and we would also have a $5 transaction fee. So it doesn't matter if you go in there and spend 50 cents or $500. We would get $5 off of every sale.
Do you have any projections at all as to how much this might result in for Paonia?
No, because it's, you know, throwing darts at a dartboard at this point in time. I hope we can have enough that we can actually start making some difference in our streets and roadways. But we're not even projecting anything in the budget for next year at all. If it passes, it's going to take time to make sure that all the regulations are there and getting the infrastructure set up to actually support the business itself.
So I take it the Paonia Police Department has not expressed any concern about having dispensaries in town?
No, none whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I was meeting with Chief Ferguson yesterday and we discussed this, and he has no problems with it whatsoever.
In some towns, marijuana dispensaries have actually become kind of a draw.
Exactly, and that's some of our thought process in putting all this together, too, is like, so how many festivals do we have? Could we increase the number of people who come to the festivals? Would they stay longer? And would this be a draw for people in the winter? That maybe some of our businesses that have to close down in the winter because we don't have people could now stay open because we have traffic to these shops.
There was a similar measure on the ballot some years ago, right?
Correct.
Do you have any, you know, sense of how things might be different this time? That measure was defeated.
But it was defeated very closely, and this was put into place shortly after marijuana was legalized in the first place. And so part of that was still the, we don't know what's going to go on with this. Yeah, we had some medicinal shops, but we don't know about that. And this time we do know, because we have track records from other communities. So we know probably what's going to happen with this. Our population is shifting. It is not the same as it was 5 years ago, 7 years ago. And it's more accepting of this kind of thing. The legality of marijuana has become more routine than, oh my God, we've just legalized this harmful substance. So I think it's going to win. I think we're going to get it.
What have you heard one way or the other from people about this measure?
You know, I haven't heard a lot, in all honesty. I have heard some people who are excited about having money to put into roads and streets, and if this is a way to do it, then they're happy for it. I have heard, too, from people who, again, are worried that it was a controlled substance for so long, and so they do worry about the addictive effects of it and what's going on with that. But nobody's coming to me screaming, that's for sure.
How does the county's regulations play into all of this?
Well, it's very disappointing that they have chosen to go this route. At least they modified it. Their version 3 of the land use plan had no marijuana, period. And at least now they're allowing 12 plants per owner. But I was hoping that we could have somebody set up an organic marijuana growing facility, and then they could create products that we could sell in the shops. So, you know, the oils, the edibles, and that they could brand them with the Paonia name, which would even get it out there farther and be more helpful in getting revenues into the town. And the county loves to push agriculture. This is agriculture. Why set the line and say that this is not acceptable agriculture? This is another form of small business. They want businesses in this county. Why are they saying, no, we're not going to allow these kind of businesses? It seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot.
And we just heard from Paonia Mayor Mary Bochran. And that concludes this edition of Local Motion on Delta County ballot issues. We here at KVNF encourage every eligible voter to be sure to vote, no matter which side you support. This program and many others are available at kvnf.org. I'm Jody Peterson, and thanks for listening.